Get a look, good look at this face. It'll be in your nightmares. Hallelujah. Glory. It'll be there when the enemy shows up. Press on, my child. Press on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. You ever woke up in the middle of the night and Brother Prepper was preaching to you? I have. Believe it or not. Glory. Amen. Well, that's what it's for, church, believe it or not. Preaching of the word, the sharing of the word, the preaching of the messages. The messages are words of encouragement enwrapped around God's word, expounding God's word and enlightening God's word as the Holy Ghost of God illuminates us. Praise the Lord. Just good to be in God's house tonight. Appreciate Brother Lucas leading the service tonight. All of our musicians. Wasn't that saxophone awesome tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that piano awesome tonight? Yeah, glory. Even the drums. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Wasn't that an awesome service this morning? Glory. Hallelujah. See, we're serving an awesome God. And that just means that we're following Him. We become awesome people. We do. We do. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter number 8 tonight. A very familiar story. And verse number 12 is where I want to begin. It's kind of the explanation of the parable of the seed and the sower as Jesus is expounding it to his disciples of what it really meant. And so verse number 12, you'll have to bear with me tonight. It's allergy season, you know, and a lot of drainage going on, so just bear with me. We'll get this preached sooner or later. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. If not, just look up and you'll find it. Hallelujah. Glory. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, joyful endurance, patience. Father in heaven, we praise your mighty name and we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us tonight as we expound upon it, preach upon it, share what you've laid on our hearts to share with your people tonight. And God, that it would encourage our hearts, encourage our souls, strengthen us, Lord, to fulfill your will and your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. Notice each one of these individuals, if we could say it like that, each one of these people that Jesus is talking about, notice one of the key words in each one of them. There's four different types of reception here, if I can say it like that. We usually say it's the soil because it's the seed and the sower, but it's notice that every one of them hear. And I'm reminded of the Lord speaking to us this morning emphasizing hearing his voice, emphasizing following his voice. And we notice here that the seed is the word of God. The sower is the one preaching the word of God. And so we see then that when it's always heard. When preaching goes forth, it's always heard. But notice that hearing is not enough. Hearing, it's a good thing. We've got to hear. It's wonderful to hear. But then, number one, then cometh the devil and taketh away the words out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So, number one, I've classified as an unbeliever. They hear it, but then they listen more to the devil or the enemy than they do to the word they heard. And thus, they are still an unbeliever. They just don't believe it because they would believe the lie instead of the truth. So that's an unbeliever. Number two, and they on the rock are, once again, when they hear. Now, this one's a little different because they receive it with joy even. But because they are uncommitted, I title these or name these as the uncommitted. They hear it, they know it's good, they know it's right, but they have no desire to do it. So they are the uncommitted. They just will not commit, and thus when any type of hardship comes or a time of temptation comes, they run. They're not running for their life. They're not running for the Lord. They're running from the Lord. They run because they are uncommitted to God. And the third soil or the third individual, the one that fell among the thorns, once again, they heard. They actually went forth. But they didn't continue on. They allowed the cares of this life, the riches of this life, the pleasures of this life, and thus they could not fulfill the very desire that God had for their lives, because God's desire for you and I is that we bring forth fruit, and fruit under perfection. That's God's desire. And so these are those that are unrighteous. In other words, they've heard the word, they believe the word, but they just get caught up in everything else, and thus their life never becomes what it could have become, and they live a lie. Because they profess they are, but in fruit they're not. And that's why I labeled these as the unrighteous. It's because they had opportunity to be righteous. They may have been righteous for a little while, but then they allowed everything else to take control of their lives. But they did not want to deny, oh yeah, I'm a believer. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. Yeah, the rapture is about to take place. But they're more concerned about riches, pleasures, more concerned about the things of this life. And thus they never go on to that full place of God's plan in their lives. You see, God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. My plan is probably halfway fulfilled already. 40 years. Going on 40 years of serving Jesus. So the plan for my life, I'm probably halfway into it, but I still got another part to go. Hallelujah. And so I'm running on. Hallelujah. I'm running on with Jesus. Amen. But this fourth soil, this good ground, this individual, which is an honest, has an honest and good heart. So in other words, there's a little bit more shared about this. And having heard the word, they not only hear it, they keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, this fourth individual, this fourth type of soil, they believe, they are committed, they are righteous, they are godly, they are holy, and they're soldiers. I want to preach to you tonight, God is still making soldiers. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. These are soldiers. These are individuals. Hallelujah. Every one of these individuals, and that's how I'm going to name it, and that's how I'm going to say it. Every one of these individuals had the same opportunity. Had the same opportunity to become a soldier for the King. to become a soldier in God's army, to become an individual that committed all they are to the Lord Jesus Christ, and put it into His control that His plan might be fulfilled in their life. Amen. Every one of them had the same opportunity, but only those, and here's a key factor, that are honest. If you have a problem with honesty, the first person you're going to lie to is yourself. You're going to justify your life according to someone else's definition or your own. But I can only justify my life according to the definition of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that is the only place I can be justified any at all, is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that power of the cross and the power of the blood, and surrendering and submitting myself unto Him, because He paid the price for my justification. Amen. That's the believer. That's the committed one. That's the righteous one. That's the godly one. That's the holy one. You see, it makes no difference where you start. Somewhere, at some point, you're going to have to make a choice to surrender all and make Christ your Lord, your commander, and your everything. You will find, and testimonies will bear it out, children that make a profession of faith, they're saved. Their heart is sincere. Their love is towards God. But as time rolls on, there will come a point in time where that young conversion or that young convert is going to have to make a brand new decision to follow Jesus Christ, lest he become uncommitted or unrighteous and not believe committed, righteous, godly, and holy, a soldier to God. Because it's a rational decision. It's not just an emotional experience. It is a rational decision that leads to an emotional experience with a holy God. You cannot move into the presence of a holy God and not become emotional. Number one, if you're not in right standing, the emotion you will experience is fear, misery, and terrified. Those are all emotions. You know that, right? But if you're in a right standing with God and you want to hear what God's got to say, you're going to experience joy. You're going to experience peace. You're going to experience power. You're going to experience love. You're going to experience every good emotion you could even imagine or think of as you encounter the holy God of heaven underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But a sinner is going to feel his misery. He's going to feel the burden of his sin. He's going to feel the weight. He's just not going to feel any joy or peace at all until he surrenders it all unto the Lord and is ready to become a soldier for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You see, God's still making soldiers because that is the desire of God's heart. Hallelujah, that you and I become soldiers, men and women of the cross. Men and women of commitment. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. No matter where that point's at. We've already mentioned that Sister Cisneros' father has gone on to meet his reward now. He waited until the last days of his life to find that place. Not being critical, not being cruel. No, mercy and grace kissed together and showed up at the same time. And he surrendered his heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A promise God gave to Sister Kathy. And God fulfilled it. But this is what I'm talking about. Sooner or later, you've got to find that place of surrender to Jesus Christ in your life. My challenge tonight is you do it tonight. You do it right now. Don't wait all the way to the end and miss out on the joy of being a soldier for God. Miss out on the joy of being a servant of the King. Miss out on the power of a holy God moving in your heart, moving in your life, and reaching to some lost individual around you and helping them come to the glorious light and salvation of an almighty God. Don't miss out on all the great things of being committed to God, surrendered to God, righteous before God, holy unto the Lord. Because there ain't no joy like it. Hallelujah. You see, this is kind of part of Christianity that a lot of people want to avoid. But it's really the part that needs to be shared. It's not always easy. And everything's not always great. But He's always great. Hallelujah. And He's always got the joy that I need, the peace that I need, and the power that I need. Even when things down here aren't going really good, things are always going great in heaven. Hallelujah. Things are always going great in heaven. Now, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Did you catch that? Christ chose you to be a soldier. Amen. That means Jesus is the commander. Jesus is the trainer. Woo. You thought Brother Pepper was rough. Woo. Oh my. You needed to walk a day or two with Jesus and his disciples. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. Glory to our God. Hallelujah to the King. No man that warreth. In other words, anyone that is engaging in this spiritual life, in this walk with God, no man that warreth, that is conquering his flesh and denying himself, no man that warreth, no man that has committed his life unto the Lord Jesus Christ needs to entangle himself. I'm going to put it like this: the affections of this world. Entangle means to intertwine where it becomes one. It's what ropes like. You know, it takes several different ones and intertwines it to make a rope. You see, if you do that with the world, then you'll never be a soldier for God. If you're more concerned about the what the world's going to say about you, then you're not the soldier of the King. If the world has more influence over you when you're outside the walls of this church, then you are not a soldier. You are not surrendered. You are not committed. And you are not righteous. Think about it. I want you to think about it. God wants us to think about it. Hallelujah. Because it's not what you do inside these four walls that makes you a Christian. It's what you do outside in this world that reveals whether you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, a soldier for the King. That's where it is displayed. That's where it is shown. And if you are not showing forth Christ, then you are not a soldier of His. Because you have not surrendered at all to Him. A lot of times we have a lot of good intentions. Good intentions. Sometimes a whole bowl full of good intentions. But they don't help anybody or anything until they become actions and not intentions. Yes, they end with the same I-O-N-S, but they are totally different. Hallelujah. Because actions produce power, and power produces salvation. That light to shine is how you act and how you display your life to people you meet. Yeah. You've got to realize that every person you meet is a potential soul for salvation. And you better make sure you're treating them well and kind so that you can win them to Jesus. Are you more concerned about yourself, your well-being, your bargain, your... Hello? How do you act out there in the world? Are you selfish? Oh, surely not. Surely Christ has taught you not to be selfish. I mean, grace itself teaches you that. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. But you see, that's the warfare. He that warreth, are you even fighting to do right? Or do you just succumb to evil? He that warreth, hallelujah, has to become very wise to the tactics of the enemy, and the enemy is the god of this world. And so it's the ways of this world, the affections of this world, that are going to do their best to warp your way of thinking to where you lean more towards them instead of separating yourself and being holy unto God. Ooh, my. But God's still making soldiers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And a soldier is bent. You understand what I mean by bent? I mean, there ain't nothing going to change my mind. The righteous side of stubborn, steadfast in the Lord. I am not going to dishonor my God. Woo! That's a soldier of the King. Hallelujah. That's that soldier. Hallelujah. That realizes that he has been chosen. Did you catch that? You're not saved tonight because you came up with a good idea. You're not saved tonight because you did enough good to be there. You're saved tonight because the commander came and gently knocked on your heart's door. Gently spoke to your spirit and your mind. Do you want to be set free from your sin? He invited you into his kingdom. He invited you into salvation. He invited you into his army. Hallelujah. Once again, each one of these individuals heard the word. They heard the invitation. Hallelujah. But only one individual moved to the rank of becoming that soldier for the army of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, we're going to have to respond like David did when Goliath came on the scene. Remember, at that point in time, it was little David. It wasn't the mighty King David who then was swinging and using the sword of Goliath. He had grown quite a bit from the time he slew Goliath to the time he was swinging the sword of Goliath. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Wow. I mean, oh well, I won't go there. Praise God. Woo. You just got to realize David was just a little guy. And he was ruddy. That's a terminology the Bible uses. That means you look at him like, oh, hopefully the wind won't blow him away. Kind of like Lucas when we first met him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, Lucas was just a little feller, and if he was running alongside of you and you bumped him a little bit, he would whirl out. I mean, but he'd come right back in. You know? I mean, so little David, is there not a cause standing up for God? Hallelujah. That had already moved in his life, that had already showed him his power and his ability, and his faith was in God, not in what David could do, but his faith was in God, because David was in no position to even think there was anything David could do. And it was God that he was putting his trust in. But he said, is there not a cause? We're going to have to become like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. God said, who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Step up, hallelujah. Step up, glory to God. Step up and be used by God. God wants to use you in His kingdom, but you gotta step up, hallelujah, and be trained. Oh yeah, you gotta be trained. Nobody wants to be trained anymore, do they? You realize when you go into the military, the very first thing they do is tell you, we're your mama now. You ain't got nobody to turn to, nobody to run to. You belong to us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who do we belong to as a child of God? We belong to Christ. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to anybody else. We belong to God. Hallelujah. He wants to train us. Are you up for training tonight? Woo! You ain't got your running shoes on. Those ain't running shoes, son. These are running shoes. God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. You don't understand what I just did, but my knee's been killing me all night long, and now I'm just, praise God. And so, you know, it just, I didn't run. I was like, Brother Lucas, you may not run physically, but oh, my inside, I was running laps around this boy. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. That's what he said. I mean, you know, glory to God. Thank you, son, glory. Amen. So we've got to be just like Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Or Paul, when he looked up and couldn't see, but he could hear, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He couldn't see a thing, but he could sure hear what Jesus was saying to him. Praise God. It's just a matter of having that encounter with Jesus Christ. And Paul said, what would you have me to do? And here's the word that he said that made all the difference in his life from that point forward. Lord. Woo. He said, what would you have me to do, Lord? Glory. Now, Christians are called soldiers because we're in a spiritual battle that requires the strength of God's Spirit, the inspiration of God's Word, and the accountability to God's people. As a good soldier trains to win the battle, we too must train in order to be successful in this battle. This is where difficulty arises. We have this syndrome in these last days of lukewarmness, where we know what we ought to do and we know it's the right thing to do. Oh, that's just too hard. Most of these young people don't even know what hard is. Really, they don't. Even my children don't really even know what hard is. But let me tell you what hard is. That's when you get up every morning and there's always some work to do on the farm. That's when you get up every morning and you know you're not going to get to play with your toys. You're not going to get to play with your Legos. You're not going to get to play video games. I never even played a video game. I'm sorry. You're not going to get up and just lay around in your pajamas. Because there is manure that needs cleaned out of the barn. And that's done with a pitchfork and a shovel. Not with a backhoe, not with a track hoe, and not with a skid steer. With two armies. That's what's done on the farm. Hallelujah. And when you got that done, it was time to split wood. And when you got that done, it may have been time to go cut more wood. And when you got that done, you had to split the wood again. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? I am thankful I was raised on a farm because it really made me the man that I am today. Hallelujah. Because I'm not afraid of work. This doesn't mean I like to do it all the time. I'll be honest with you. I love school. I did well in school because I loved school. I try to get these kids to fall in love with math. Some of them are getting it done. I love school. You want to know why I love school so much? Because it got me off the farm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love football. Why? You want to know why I love football so much? Well, I'm competitive. Yes, I am. Because it kept me after school, which kept me longer off the farm, and I didn't have to do some of them chores my other brothers would have to do them. You talk about smart. Glory. Are you getting the picture, though? I mean, hard work. Hey, if it needed to be shoveled, we shoveled it. I still do that. My son shakes his head at me sometimes. I said, Dad, why do you do that the hard way? I didn't realize it the hard way. I thought it was the only way. I still want to be able to move in my old age. Hallelujah. And running a shovel keeps it all moving, believe it or not. Praise God. A soldier. You see, there's really a lot more to being a soldier for the King than just physical. But really, physical is a lot of it, too. I mean, you know. Oh, well, help me, Jesus. We are the temple of God, and we got to take care of this temple if we want this temple to last. And if you want your house to last, you got to take care of it, don't you? You know, and if you don't take care of it, you can drive around the town here in Chelsea, you can see all the houses nobody took care of. And they're all falling down, falling apart, because they were not maintenanced like they should have been. I realize as you get older, sometimes you can't. But that's why you got to do it when you're young. Amen. Praise the Lord. We tried to take some measures at our house to where it became non-maintenance on the outside. But still yet, there's always some little something that you got to take care of. Hallelujah. But a soldier, according to the Bible, those spiritual battles, strength from God, he trains to win the battle. Oh, wow. Can I say that again? He or she trains to win the battle. They realize if they fall, they don't stay down. They analyze why they fell, and they proclaim, I will not fall again that way. Why? Because they are a soldier. They learn from their mistake, and they go higher because they just got training by experience. You know, for everything that I know how to do, Brother Robert, there was a mistake or two or three involved before I realized this is how you do it. Woo! It took me a little while to learn to speak at the right moment and be quiet at the right moment. First rattle out of the box. When you're young, you think you're spiritual. I mean, you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. I mean, you think, you know, you got it. You're it. Whole 26 years old and I know it all. Been saved for 3 years and I've got it all. Except being quiet when you need to be quiet and speaking when you need to speak. Woo! Yeah. Man. Oh, if we could learn that. Talk about unity. You talk about loving one another. Oh, but it was the truth. Oh, yeah, it was the truth. I didn't do anything per se, you know, that was not truth. I just brought it to the attention of one individual that, well, you know, because you did that, well, you're just sunk. Whoa. I mean, he didn't come for church. He didn't come to church for 3 or 4 weeks. He thought he was sunk. Where'd he get an idea like that? Oh, my pastor called me on the turf. He said, Brother Doug. He just had to know Brother Moss. He always smiled when he did it, and you just felt about this tall. Why did you go and say that? Well, Brother Mullis, I thought that's what it was, you know, that what you did, that's what happens. Brother Doug, did you forget about grace? Did you forget about mercy? No, Brother Maltz, I guess I did. Yeah. So, count it a blessing if you've never had precious moments with Brother Mullis. Whew. I wish he was here. He'd love that. Count it a blessing if you haven't had precious moments with Brother Pepper. Yeah. Oh, my. But you see, there's training involved. You see, and that's what mistakes are. They're training ground and they're training in process. And you know, when your pastors or your spiritual leaders begin to bring things to your knowledge that you could possibly do a different way, that's called training. And then to be a good soldier, you will accept that training and your life will change. But if you're going to be a self-centered individual, your life won't change, and all you'll do is talk bad about the pastor or the spiritual leader. Woo. And I know all that from experience. Not that I did it, that I received it. Hallelujah. So here we see that a soldier has to train to be successful in battle. Just because you think you know how to fight for the Lord doesn't mean you're successful in your battles. Because every one of us are individuals and every one of us fight different warfares. We're fighting the same enemy, yes, but not a one of us are identical clones. Even though we're Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we are not identicals. We're not twins. We're not clones of one another. You're not a Brother Pepper, and I'm not a Brother Matthew. No. And thus, our warfares are based on our individual lives and our walk with God. And our warfares, and we have to be wise and we have to be trained to fight our warfare, to fight our battles. If you know where you fall and where you are vulnerable and where you are weak, then that's where you must become strong. Woo! I mean, you know, it's just like if you go into physical fitness and physical training, Sister Pepper is not near as physical as Brother Pepper. She's a little lacking in the upper. And she's working on that. She's training. I mean, I can take her weights and pick them up with one finger. Yeah, you know, I mean, it just, I'm not. Yeah. I mean, you know, anyway, you can see there. Oh, preachers, never use your wife as an example. But training, in other words, right after she realizes that's where her weakness is, so that's where she's got to train harder. See, I don't have to train hard there. I mean, it's there, you know. And so the reality then. Each individual, our warfare, we've got to train where we're weak. Where we know the enemy has overcome us, then that's where we got to start training, creating that good habit I talked about this morning, and getting rid of a bad habit that puts me back in that same scenario, that same situation, that same circumstance that causes me to fall. Then I'm going to have to keep myself out of that scenario, keep myself out of that circumstance, and keep myself out of that area. And I'm going to have to start doing that habitually, if you will, until the victory comes. And now I am strong because I've been training. Woo, hallelujah. Because a soldier has to train to win the battle. That's why they take them into boot camp when they enlist or they are drafted into the Army, Marines, Navy, or the Air Force. That's why they take them right to boot camp. They don't take them in and throw them out into the battle. Because they have no idea what warfare is. They have no idea. They're not strong enough. They're not mature enough. They don't have enough stamina. Most of them come in there, probably never worked a day in their life. And so they've got to train them and build muscles in them. And the number one thing they train them to do, up, down, run, jump, down, 10, 20, 30. Talking about push-ups. Woo! Up. Go to bed. Rise and shine! Up! Run! Jump! Move! Breakfast! Over! Onward! Are you getting the picture? They teach them how to move at voice command. Woo! Aren't you glad I talked to you out of going to the Marines? Woo! But then, I'm coming back. But then, you are now in the army of the Lord. You got to train harder than you ever dreamed about training in the Marines. Oh my, do you look at your Christianity like that or not? Oh my, most of the time not. Because we want to get by with just as little as we can. We want to overlook everything we can overlook. No, 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 no. I want to give it all to Jesus. I want to be a soldier for the King. I want to walk uprightly. Ooh, glory to God. I got to move on here. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8 and 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, now this is to all the people, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. Luke 9, 23, and he said unto them all, see, this knocks in the head, so to speak, that proverbial excuse. Well, you know, that's just for the pastor. That's just for the preacher. That's just for the person that's called into ministry. No, he said to them all. Everybody standing there. That's what he said to the rich young ruler there in Mark 10 and 21. You know, he tried to justify himself and everything that he thought he had done good, and he had. But there's one area he forgot to train in. And so Jesus gave him the opportunity to train and become what he asked to become. Yeah. But he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Luke 9, 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Do you find it maybe interesting that every... you know, three of the gospel writers wrote that down? Because it is one of the major truths of Christianity. Because that's what it's going to take, number one, to be saved. Number two, that's what it's going to take to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And number three, that's what it's going to take to be victorious and a soldier in God's army. See, there's phases in your growth. There's fruit under perfection. You get saved. What did it take? Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. What's it take? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. What's it take to be victorious after you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. What's it take to be victorious as you're a teenager? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. What's it going to take to overcome and be victorious in middle-aged life? You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. What's it going to take for a 60-year-old plus to be victorious in Jesus Christ? I'm going to have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. Hallelujah. It never changes, no matter how old you are or how old you become. It is the only way to be a soldier for the Lord and to be victorious in his kingdom. thus becoming a light to shine for those that are around you. Now, John shared this. John chapter 6, verse 56. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Wow. Verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they left." Oh my, who was that like? I guess that was like number two individual. They just weren't that committed. Woo! Praise God. Verse 63. He said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." See, now this was a little bit deeper than the other gospels, but he still was saying the same thing. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You've got to take all of me. And to take all of me, you have to give all of you. Or you can't get all of me. Woo! Praise God. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby," or trained thereby. The word chastening, we automatically think of the rod. We automatically think of Woody in the school. We automatically think of discipline. But actually the word chastening means training, educating. That's why we call Woody sometimes the Board of Education. We are educating individuals that disobedience brings punishment. That's a good education. Yeah, that's going to help individuals surrender their lives to Jesus Christ a little quicker. They won't have to go through all the schools of hard knocks or that training of hard knocks. Hallelujah. But once again, here we are. Jesus, God, he loves us. And chastening sometimes doesn't seem to be joyous. Boot camp, I haven't heard anybody that's in boot camp in any military facility saying, "Man, this is the most joyous time I've ever had." It was grievous. They hated it. Oh, my, why? Because it took them to places, took them to strengths, took them to stamina, took them to obedience that they never had in their lives. And it was probably the hardest thing they ever did in their lives for the majority of them therein. Not everybody had a problem with it. Some folks go in the military ready to be soldiers. Some go into the military or want to be soldiers. But everybody that goes into the military and stays in the military becomes a soldier. Woo. So if you're going to maintain your walk with God and you're going to stay in Christianity, you will become a soldier. Hallelujah. You have enlisted. You're part of the army and your training is going on right now. Right now. Hallelujah. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward," once it's done, once we're trained, hallelujah, "it brings forth fruit." Wow, peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because we received the training. Woo, praise God. Glory. Charles Spurgeon, "The soldier of Christ, if thou enlisteth, thou will have to do hard battle. There is no bed of down for thee, or no comfortable bed. There is no riding to heaven in a chariot. The rough way must be trodden, mountains must be climbed, rivers must be forded, dragons must be fought, giants must be slain, difficulties must be overcome, and great trials must be borne. It is not a smooth road to heaven, believe me, for those who have gone but a few, very few steps in salvation have found it to be a rough one. But it is a pleasant one. It is the most delightful in all the world, but it is not easy in itself. It is only pleasant because of the company, because of the sweet promises on which we lean, because our beloved who walks with us through all the rough and the thorny breaks of this vast wilderness. Wow. Hallelujah. You see, that's how we make it through, because of Jesus and Him walking with us. And He's the beloved. Hallelujah. And He will come down and His presence will help us. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And though so we may be going through a hard time here on this earth, a test, a trial, a training ground, if you will, because everything we go through is a training ground or a training project in God's eyes. Even if we create the dilemma ourselves, He will still turn it around for the training of our lives. Help show us not to do that again. That's where mercy and grace come on the scene. Surely goodness and mercy followeth me all the days of my life. That's Brother Lucas said it right. His mercy and grace is there to catch me when I'm falling back, and I'm falling back, and they're there to keep pressing me forward, because they know that if I'm going to make heaven, I've got to go forward. I can't go back. Hallelujah. And that's what training is all about. That is what's learning the battle, the warfare that we're in. I've got to take measures that may seem extreme to some. But it doesn't make any difference. I'm not serving some. I'm serving Jesus. And if I got to go to extremes, then I will go to extremes that I might be victorious. I've got to be willing to go to the extreme. I've got to be willing to roll up my sleeve, so to speak, and go to work. Mm-hmm. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not telling us that we can save ourselves. That's telling us there's things in our lives that we need to kick out. And we need to work at it. Hallelujah. It's not just going to go away. The devil's not just going to fall over and play dead. The devil is not even going to be fazed at all if you say, go away, go away, go away, go away. No, that ain't going to faze him at all. What's going to faze him is you walking in the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in a full surrendered life, to where you can say with confidence, great authority, and great faith, Satan, get thee behind me in the name of Christ. And then you just walk right over the top of him if you don't move. Woo, hallelujah. That's a soldier in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I've never had the opportunity to be in the military, and so I don't fully understand what all military life is about. I do know one thing, the boot camp is terrible. And I know another thing, that warfare is terrible. Because I know people that's been in the warfare in the natural realm. Hallelujah. And they also knew the protecting hand of God was upon them. Ah, glory. And if you will survey and look back a little bit into your life, you will see that you've been in warfare multitudes of times yourself, and that the only way that you came through is because there was someone standing by you, and His name is Jesus. And though I was losing the battle, He still propped me up until somebody came along with some words of encouragement that I could grab a hold of and begin back into being that soldier for the King. Whew. There are times we get weary. There's times we get worn. There are times when it seems like it's just too much difficulty. Yeah. Right here's one of them moments. No. It's not difficult in here at all. Because this is where God pours out handfuls on purpose. Hallelujah. Know all your difficulties is be out there when you're in the trenches. When you're out there by yourself. When you're out there, you're feeling like you're alone. See, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what that feeling's like. Number one, I've never been alone in my entire life. I've just never been alone. There's always been somebody there. I've never been alone. I don't know what that's like. But I'm also the type of individual that I can be by myself, and I really kind of like it. No stress. Nothing going on. I can just relax. I always look for times to be alone. A lot of people are tired of being alone, but I'm looking for it. So that I can't tell you what, I don't know what it's like. I don't know that feeling of that you feel alone. But I do know this. You are never alone. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ is right there to be your friend, to be your helper, to be your guide, to be your commander also. But he's also got those everlasting arms that we can lean on. Hallelujah. And that's just the camaraderie of the commander. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. But when you're in boot camp and you're going through that drills and you're going through that training, and I heard this from Brother Jonathan Cisneros, while he was going through all of his training, his commanders were the meanest, ruthless, I mean, just always on him, commanding him, working on him. I mean, just no good word to say to him at all. But when he got done with it and he realized that I don't want this any longer, and he just stepped out of it, they became his buddies, his pals, his friends. I mean, what were they during training? They were the trainer. They were the commander. But then when he was out of that training, they were comrades, fellow soldiers. Hallelujah. And so it's the same way with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think he's leading us down a road that's way too hard, way too difficult. We'll never make it through. What is he doing? He's the trainer. He's training us. He's helping us to realize there are times I'm going to have to live it alone. I'm going to have to do it by myself. I may be the only one serving God, but I will serve God the way he wants me to serve him. He brings you to that place. Sooner or later you'll get there, because you're a soldier. And God's still making soldiers. Hallelujah. And it's not an easy place to get, but he'll take you there. And once he gets you there, then you can lean on his everlasting arms, because he will be your comrade. He'll be your friend. He'll be your brother. Hallelujah. Even though he's your Savior, King, and Lord of all, he will be there for you personally also. But you got to understand, there's times of training, and it will seem like he's not there at all. But oh my, that's just like that poem. That's the times when he is actually carrying us through our training periods. Hallelujah. So that we can become strong in the power of his might, to his will, his work, his way. Hallelujah. And then we'll realize once we're through, while we're going through it, it's grievous. Then once we're through it, we'll become strong and we'll realize it was for my benefit. It was training by the hand of God to help me in this area of my life that I struggled with. Oh, yeah. Wow. I could write a book. Really could. About all the struggles in the Christian life that you've got to go through to become strong in the power of his might, to to learn how to be strong in the inner man, to learn the voice of an almighty God, where you know his direction and you know what you are and what you would like and how easy you would like it, and thus you realize, no, that's never the way. His way will always seem difficult. His way will always seem hard. His way will always seem impossible. Oh, yeah. That just means his way is always the best way. Because if I lean to my own understanding, I'm going to be lenient towards my flesh. I'm going to be lenient towards my desires. I'm going to be lenient towards my feelings. I'm going to be lenient towards what I think I can do. And I'm going to... Yeah. It's amazing what we can really do, and how many times what we can't do and we think we can. My junior year, I stepped onto the practice field of the football field. Just come off summer hauling small bales of hay. Probably weighed anywhere from 60 to 80 pounds a piece. If it was a particular type of hay, alfalfa, it weighed 120 pounds a piece. Hauling them 120 bale at a time, putting them in a barn, and usually doing it at night because it was too hot during the day. I'd spent all summer long working hard out in the heat. I mean, I thought I was ready. I thought this was going to be a breeze. Everybody else that stepped on there thought it was too. But we had a new football coach. Never met him before. He didn't know who we were. We didn't know who he was. So he didn't know who started, who didn't start. He didn't know who could play, who knew how to play, who didn't know how. He knew nothing about us. We knew nothing about him. But that very first day, he ran us so much, every one of us falling on the ground and throwing up. And those that endured that hardness, they were on the team. Those that came back the next day after that, they made the team. Those that said, this is too hard, well, they played some other sport. I came back the next day. I'm a glutton for punishment sometimes. It seemed too hard for some. But for the rest of us, we knew then we weren't really ready like we thought we were. And we needed more training. We needed more training. He did. I mean, in my opinion, it was probably the best football coach Chelsea ever had, because he took a bunch of rot-shot boys that really weren't big enough to play football to a winning season 2 years in a row, because he knew how to get us to achieve things we didn't think we could achieve. How much you weigh, Brother Lucas, right now? 178. Wow. You're bigger than I was when I graduated from high school. I weighed 165 pounds, believe it or not, when I graduated from high school, sopping wet. I did. Most everybody on our team was anywhere from 150 to about 185. That was our big guy. We played teams that their average weight on their offensive line was 250 and up. I played right guard. That's right beside the center at 165 pounds. But our coach trained us. He knew the warfare. He knew what we were up against. He knew that we were not big enough to take these guys on chest to chest and head to head. And so he trained us. And we worked out on weights. When I was in high school, I was squatting 300 pounds at 165 pounds. He worked on our leg strength, our leg muscles, our leg exercise. I'm saying all this to get you to understand your Christian training is going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, and it's going to have to be according to where you're fighting. And he taught us how to stay low and how to keep our legs churning. We would run, not literally run. How many know what a bear crawl is? That's when you're down on your hands and on your feet. We would run 100 yards on a bear crawl. Turn around and come back 100 yards on a crab crawl. Why were we doing that? Didn't that seem a little excessive? Well, not when you're up against a 250-pound guy straight across from you. No, not at all. But because of the training that he gave us, I loved it. Because we had the advantage, because we knew what to do with the big guys. It was awesome. Just the thrill of it. I remember right now. Taking a big 250-pound guy and just taking him wherever I wanted to on that football field. All I had to do was a bear crawl. Yeah. Stick my helmet right between his legs. And off we went, and he could. Oh, they'd get so mad, they'd say bad things across the line. Oh, they'd get so mad. And we'd just turn around and do it again. I loved it. I loved it. Because they couldn't stop us. Because there's no way once the momentum got going that they could ever gain any ground. And he would train us to fire off that line. Fire off that line. Fire. What is that? Voice command. Voice command. I mean, he trained us even when he's on defense. See, on defense, you don't know when they're going to hike that ball. You don't know when they're going to move that ball. But he taught us and he trained us. The minute that ball moved, you go. You don't wait for see what's going on. No, you go. And it just, wow. We blow them away because of our training. It wasn't so much of our strength. It wasn't of our size. It was our training. We knew what to do in the given situation of how to overcome the giants. Yeah, because that's what they were to me. They were giants. Whoa. We've got to pull that over into our Christianity and realize we talk about it in worship and how we can raise our voice and other activities and other things. And when we come to the house of God, we're just, now lift your voice, lift your hands, give praise to your God. But the other phase is you're a soldier and you got to train extensively for your battles. Yeah, because you know where they're at. You know where they'll come. You know how they'll come. And you've got to train. Oh, you've got to train to have that voice command. When your commander says no, you stop. If your commander says go, you go. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. And no matter how big the giant is, you will be victorious as you move at the command of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's why training is involved. Hallelujah. That's why things are going to be hard. Things are going to be rough. The road's not going to be smooth. It's not always going to be easy. There are times of reprieve. There are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's why we come to the house of God, to get those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, to be encouraged in His Word, challenged in His Word, and trained. Oh, hallelujah. You see the definition of a good soldier. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The qualities of a good soldier include honesty, courage, self-control, decency. And right here's the number one factor. Conviction of purpose. These are actually qualities and characteristics of our military soldiers in the United States of America. What they try to train into these young men to be a good soldier. Not all of them receive the training, just like not all Christians receive training either. But those that want to be a good soldier, they will begin to excel in honesty, courage, self-control, decency, and conviction of purpose. Why am I here? Why am I a Christian? Conviction of purpose. I have been bought with a price. I do not belong to myself. I belong to God. I am here to be a light to shine for Him. I am here to be a soldier in His army. I am here to be a servant of the King. I am here to do all the commands of my Lord, my Savior. I am here. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? I am here to fear God and keep His commandments. Hallelujah. That's what I'm... Conviction of purpose. Why are you on the face of this earth? You are on the face of this earth because you are God's creation. He has created you. He has a plan for your life. And it is your purpose to fulfill that plan. If you don't know what that plan is, your purpose is to find that plan. And you will find that if you will just become that soldier for the Lord and that servant of our Most High God, that that plan will formulate and you will be fulfilling it, and you may not even know it. Go refresh yourself with the story of Joseph. Do you think he really thought God was fulfilling his plan when he was in that pit and his brothers threw him in there? Do you really think he thought he was fulfilling the plan of God when they sold him as a slave? Do you think that God's plan, he thought it was being fulfilled when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and then he ran, and then he got through in prison? Do you really think that he thought, well, God's fulfilling his plan for my life? No, but he just was committed to God and consecrated to God and devoted to God and a soldier for God. And so, well, Lord, if this is the place for my life, then train me however you need to train me and use me however you want to use me. And that's why he always became a leader wherever he went. I took that philosophy up to every job that I went and worked for. When I went to work somewhere, I went to work and I was going to do the best I could, the best I knew how to do, any understanding that I had, I was going to give it all. Because if that's where I was going to work, then that's what I was going to do. I wasn't going to go in there and try to get something for nothing. I went to work. Sister Sarah's not here. She worked there too. I went to work for 6-9 Surplus over in Adair, Oklahoma. Some of you may have been there before. Some of you may have worked there before. Somehow I ran into the owner of 69 Surplus somewhere. And I can't even remember how it came about. And I just asked. Well, no, I went to 69 Surplus and asked him if he needed any help or anything, because I was just pastoring a little church and I needed a little extra money to try to survive. And so I saw the store there, so I went in there and asked him for a job. Of course, he was, you know, kind of looking me over. And they said, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. I pastor. Oh, you're a preacher, huh? Oh, I see. So he said, most preachers I know don't know how to work. Okay. I said, well, all I ask is you give me an opportunity, and then you can go from there. He said, all right, well, you can come Saturday. We're cleaning up around here Saturday, and I got a bunch of junk that needs loaded in a dumpster. And I'll start you at $4 an hour. I said, okay. Because I knew there was something more going on here, even at that point in time. I said, fine, yeah, that'd be great. Here we get. We get there Saturday, and of course, you know what he did. He gave me the dirtiest, the heaviest, the filthiest. I mean, I was picking up junk and trash and putting it in a dumpster all day long, and I was doing it with a smile, and I was out working his worker that he had working with me. And I mean, I got it done. I said, what else you want me to do? He said, you already got that done? I said, yes, sir, it's done. Well, go over there and see what you can do with that. What do you want me to do? You already got that done? Yes, sir, that's done. What else you want me to do? By the time the day was done, I was hired, and I got a $2 raise. I was working for $6 now. By the time I was done at 69 surplus, I was pretty well his main man, except for son-in-law. And it was a close race. And I had got up to $10 an hour, maybe even $12 an hour at 69 surplus. Went from 4 to 12. And I did that because I took Joseph's life as my pattern. That no matter where I'm at, I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to stay hooked to it until God says go somewhere else. And I stayed working there for a long, long time. I enjoyed working there. We fixed things. I mean, it was a surplus store. We'd take things that were broke and make them look like new again. I loved doing that. Working with my hands. Wow. I said all that to close with this. You've got to train. You've got to be willing to work hard. And you've got to be able to work harder than you think you can. Because no matter how much you think you're given, you've always got more to give. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking to the guy that would only give so much just to make sure everything's okay. But he had a whole lot more to give. But it wasn't necessary to give it right then. Oh, yeah. I don't know, somewhere along the way, I was told, never show people how much you can do because then they'll expect it every time. In certain situations, you need to do that. But serving the Lord, no, just give it all. Give it all you got. Be trained. And what greater individual could we be trained by than Jesus Christ himself? Hallelujah. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That's what he told us that again this morning. Amen. Could someone come to the piano? Honesty is always the best policy. Courage, self-control, decency, conviction of purpose. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ. I'm here to become the soldier he wants me to be. Because God is still making soldiers. And whether you realize it or not, soldiers are the ones that are going to make the rapture. If we try to slack and try not to do, we won't make it. We've got to take up the work ethic God created us with, and we've got to apply it wherever we can, whenever we can. Hallelujah to everything we're doing. Whatever we lay our hand to, you do it as unto the Lord. You will never go wrong that way, because you will not want to disappoint Him. You will not want to slack off, because you know he's right by your side. Oh, wow. Becoming that soldier is a very hard thing. But church, let me tell you, it's the greatest thing that can happen in your life. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I've been through some hard times. I've been through some bad times. I've been through very difficult situations and circumstances. And I didn't think I was going to make it at all. But he brought me through every time. Matter of fact, I even preached when I was evangelizing a message on when God pulls you through a knothole. You come out on the other side a different form and a different shape. And it was very painful getting there. But now you're better, you're stronger, you're wiser. And if there's anything we need in this hour, is wisdom. Wisdom. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and when not to do it. Wisdom. Stand with me if you could. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're still making soldiers. God, you're still calling men and women, Lord, to believe, to be committed, to be righteous, to be godly, to be holy, to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, fighting against darkness, standing against darkness, rejecting darkness from our lives, and thus being a light to shine to all those that are still entangled in the affairs of this life and the darkness of this world. God, I pray, let your Holy Ghost quicken, God, this word, this message tonight, in each heart, in each place that it needs to be applied. For Lord, you know us, Lord. We are an open book unto you. You know our thoughts. You know our desires. You know our secrets. You know everything about us, God. And God, I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Ghost will speak, Lord, to each heart, each mind, each soul, to strengthen each one in that area of weakness, oh God, this very night. Hallelujah. Praise be to the King. Glory. Glory. Let's come. Let's find a place at the feet of Jesus. Around these altars here tonight. And just ask. Speak the word, Lord. I want to hear. Speak the word, Lord. I want to listen. Speak the word, Lord. I want to change. I want to be the soldier you want me to be.